Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast.
All right. Well, as I said earlier, today we begin a new chapter in the life of Wellspring. If you are a guest today, we're honored that you're here. We weren't here last week. We were meeting at Myrtle Beach Middle School. We moved last week. I noticed some of you conveniently went on vacation last week. Well-timed. Oh, I just missed the move. Oh, no, man, we had a great turnout. We had a ton of people help us move. And we're very, very excited about what God's blessed us with here and what God wants to do here. But if you were here last week, or even if you weren't, we talked about moving. Moving is kind of a shared experience. Everybody's moved. Everybody knows what it feels like to move. And last week we talked about the packing up process, the moving your house, the moving an office, and how when you're going through that process, a lot of times you'll find things you didn't know you had, and you'll remember. You'll remember the fond memories you had there. You'll kind of be nostalgic about it. And so last week we talked about how that's a God-given principle, that we are to remember what God's done in our lives. And I shared with you some of my favorite memories from Wellspring and what God's done. And we really talked a lot about remembering. Well, today is another shared experience. We all know what it's like to begin something new. Maybe you remember what it was like to start a new job and decide, you know, I'm gonna be different here. I'm gonna work hard even when my boss doesn't ask me. I didn't get an amen for that in either hour. Nobody amens that. Or maybe you moved as a kid. Maybe you made a transformation from high school to college. One of my best friends was called one thing in high school. When he went to college, he changed his name. I would go visit him, and they would say, "So you're friends with so-and-so?" And I would say, "I don't know who that is," because he changed his name. But we all know what it feels like to have a new beginning. We all have new expectations, new desires, new hopes. So as your pastor, what I wanted to do today, last week we talked about remembering. Today I want to talk about some hopes. I basically want to share with you my hopes for the future of this church. The things that as I pray about and as I seek God's face on where he wants Wellspring to go over to the next 12 to 24 months, these are the things he's bringing to my mind. These are the things that he's saying. Focus on these. If you guys get these right, I'm going to use you to transform Myrtle Beach. And so what I want to do today is I also want to share with you 10 hopes I have for us. And I'll go ahead and tell you, most of them we do very well already. And so they're just kind of reminders to keep going. There's a couple I think we can step up our game, but that's always going to be the case. I've been challenged by these as I've prayed over them, and I was challenged last hour to ask, am I doing these in my home like I'm asking people to do in our church? And that's what I'd have you do. As I share these 10 hopes, what I'd have you do is you just simply say, is this something I'm helping make happen at Wellspring Church, or am I not? And if you're not, just ask why. I know some of you are guests, some of you are tourists. You're going to go back to your own homes, and I'm thrilled you're here. Here's my prayer for you. Take these, see if they apply at your home church. See if they apply in your life. I believe they will because I think they're all God's principles and they're all hopes he has for us in general. But let me get started. Let's go ahead and jump in here. Kind of my 10 hopes for our future here at Wellspring Church. And the first one, just jump right in. I hope people meet Jesus here. Really more than anything else. That's why we exist. That's why church exists, I believe. I believe we exist to introduce people to Jesus. If there's anything you want to say about us, it's that, they may do this or they may do that, but people meet Jesus there. I know we have many in the room that you met Jesus here and you've given your life to Christ and you're thrilled you are. Well, I also know that there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in Horry County that don't know Jesus yet, and we're going to do everything in our power. Introduce them to Jesus because he's the hope of the world. They have many problems. What they don't get is he's the solution to just about every one of them. And it's our job to carry that mission. It's our job to tell them that. In fact, the very core of Wellspring, while we exist, Wellspring Church exists to see those far from God become passionate followers of Jesus Christ. This is our mission statement. This is what I get up in the morning thinking about, what I go to bed thinking about, what every decision we make as an organization. That's the driving factor. Is this going to help us bring people that are far from God into a knowledge of Jesus Christ? Are we going to be able to transform them into passionate followers or not? That's what drives every single decision we make. And the reason that it drives our decisions is because Jesus says it should. Jesus says he came to set people free. Let me see what, show you what he says about himself in Luke 4, verse 18. This is Jesus talking. He's actually quoting from the Old Testament a prophecy, and he's basically saying, this prophecy is about me. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see and the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Jesus said he was anointed and appointed to bring the good news to the poor. And that doesn't just mean poor in wealth. It means hopeless. It means lost. He came to bring hope to those without hope. Horry County is full of people without hope. We have the answer. We just got to get it to them. That's why Jesus came, and that's what we are called to do. We are called to proclaim that message of hope. We're called to proclaim it because the Bible says that when you begin to follow Christ, when you follow Christ, you represent Christ. The Bible calls us his ambassador. We represent him to our friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers. They may not know what Jesus looks like, but they know what you look like. And if they know you follow Jesus, then you're Jesus to them. It's a high standard, but it's okay. He's with us. But we have to think of ourselves that way. The only way we're going to reach Myrtle Beach, the only way we're going to reach Horry County, is when we all realize, oh yeah, I got to be all about telling people about Jesus. I got to be all about getting people to a place where they're going to hear about Jesus. But we're going to talk way more about that. But that's why we have to do it. That's why it's so important, because people need Jesus. They were hopeless. They're blind and they don't know it. Some of you know what that felt like because you were blind and didn't know it. Now you realize, oh, I was blind before, but now I see. If you've never seen, it's hard to know what seeing's like. You don't know you're blind. You just think that's normal. We get the privilege of setting people free. Now, you can't really just go knock on doors and say, hi, can I tell you about Jesus? That's weird. You've never liked it one time when someone did that to you. But here's how I think we start. Here's my next hope. I hope this community turns to Wellspring when they need help. I hope we are on the speed dial of every principal up and down the Grand Strand. I hope that we get more requests for aid and for help and for food and for clothing than anybody else in Horry County. I hope this community knows when there's a need, Wellspring is going to meet it. But it's not because I want to pat ourselves on the back. It's not because of any of that. It's because Jesus said this in John 13. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. 35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. See, Jesus told us how we're going to stand out. Jesus told us how we're going to be different. Jesus told us how we're going to earn the right to speak truth into people's lives. It's through loving them. We miss that part. What we think is, I'm going to earn the right to speak into other people's lives by judging them. We think we are known not by our love, but we think they will know I'm a Christian by how I vote and the signs I put in my yard. I am a bumper sticker Christian. That's not what he says. For those of you who know what the word means, some of us think they will know I'm a Christian by my sound theology and my ability to question others. Wrong. It's not what he said. They will know I'm a Christian because every morning when they come in and I smell alcohol on their breath, I yell at them and make them feel guilty. No! But that's how we're known. That's why we laugh. Because we're known by that. We're known for our guilt. We're known for our ability to make people feel bad. We're known for our arguments. Jesus says, you missed it. You're supposed to be known for your love. You're supposed to be known because you're nice to people. You're supposed to be known because you take care of people nobody else will take care of. And that's what I hope for us. Not only us, I hope for you. I hope you realize Wellspring Church isn't this building because it's the YMCA, so it's pretty easy to convince you of that. We were somewhere else last week. But Wellspring Church is all of us. It's the people. that make up this church. So how does a community learn that Wellspring's there for them? Well, you go to Wellspring. You probably have a bumper sticker on the back of your car. Does your neighbor know they can knock on your door when they need help? How about the person sitting next to you at the office? Do they know that if they're in trouble, you're going to help them out? Or are you going to wag your finger at them? See, that's what it means. It means not just the church, it means all of us. Say, like, okay, I'm gonna choose to be known for what I'm for, not what I'm against. I'm going to choose to be known for my love, for how I love other people. And because as we do that, we gain the right to speak truth into their lives. I've preached this message 1,000 times. And as that happens, the community will begin to change. I get asked all the time, do you really believe the community can change? Do you really believe Myrtle Beach can be transformed? Absolutely, I wouldn't be here if I didn't. But here's what I know. It's really not going to start in this building. It's not. It's going to start in homes. It's going to start with families, which is why my next hope is this. I hope marriages are healed and family trees are saved here. I hope people will seek out this place when they are on their last breath, when divorce is about to happen, when they're about to sign on the dotted line. And they'll say, okay, I'll give it one more shot. And I hope they hear truth here. I hope they hear God's principles here. I hope they discover that marriage won't work without Jesus in the center of it. But once he's in the center of it, there is no marriage too far gone that can't be healed. I know this because I've seen it happen in this group of people. Not right here because they've never been here before. But in this group, I've seen it happen. I know marriages can be healed. And I know when we heal marriages, we transform family trees. If you were here when Eric spoke a few weeks ago about parenting, made a great point. Godly parents raise godly children. See, if we can transform families, if we can get the truth of Jesus Christ into a family's home, and the mom and the dad can put Jesus in the center and can transform their marriage, guess what? Those kids are going to be transformed by Jesus as well. And then they're going to grow up, and they're going to find wives, and they're going to find husbands, and they're going to put Jesus at the center of that marriage, and they're going to raise kids that love Jesus as well. I'm talking generational impact here. That's what we have the opportunity to do. So I talk about marriage all the time. It's why in the fall we're doing a whole series on marriage again, because it's that important. We have a chance to change family trees. Here's my next hope. It's kind of part of this process. I hope we fall in love with God's word here. Like really fall in love with it. Like falling in love with God's word, where it's like, it's right, I'm wrong, no matter what. Fall in love with God's word where we don't say, well, I don't know, he wrote that 2,000 years ago. I mean, the context was different, blah, blah, blah. No. The Bible is God's perfect holy word. It says it is adequate and able to equip God's people for every good work. It teaches us what to do and corrects us when we are wrong. That's God's word. I hope we fall in love with it. I hope we embrace it. I hope we learn to say, okay, that's my standard. That's my guide. Not my feelings, not my emotions, not what society says is okay, not what my family says is okay, not what other people says is okay, but God who says it's okay. That's my standard. See, we try that here as hard as we can. Every single week, we try as hard as we can to present to you God's word, God's truth. That's it. Everything else is just jokes and whatever to try to get you to listen to God's word. Okay? Because here's what I know. I know if you actually listen to God's word, if you actually taste it, if you actually try it, you will enjoy it. I know that because the word says so. Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. We invite you every week to taste and see that God is good. I have 3 children. I invite them often to take no thank you bites. They need to taste things. Just taste it. Just taste it. Please, please. I'm begging you. Just taste it. No, you're not going to taste it. You'll love it. Just taste it. They don't taste it, and it makes me very angry, and I can't talk about it any longer because I'm your pastor. Can I tell you a secret? Can I let you in a little bit on one of the things I do as your pastor? I'm begging you to take a no thank you bite. I am. I try to package it well. I try to make it funny. In fact, think of it this way. You know how when you got a baby and you're trying to get him to eat and you'll do the open wide. Yeah, added effect is what I'm doing on Sunday mornings. Open wide. Make God the center of your marriage. Open wide. Obey God with your finances. It's the best. And I don't feel ashamed about that. The word does it itself. I want to make it as appealing as possible because I know once you taste and see that God is right, you'll never go back. I desperately hope you fall in love with God's word here. I desperately hope that. Because as we taste it, that's how we know it's true. Other people need to be able to taste it as well. They need to be able to discover God is who he says he is. Which is why my next hope, I hope people far from God feel welcomed here. I desperately hope people that don't know Jesus feel very comfortable in this place. Did you know that Jesus, when he was on earth, he was called by those that didn't like him a friend of sinners? And that was a derogatory term. Because he hung out with people that were far from God. And he had parties with them, and he enjoyed them. Which is what we should do, because he said they're going to know you by how much you love them, and he loved them, and eventually he earned the right to share the truth with them. But that's not what we do. We want people to clean themselves up before they come to Jesus, but not here. Not here. If someone's blind, you don't argue with them about they're walking the wrong way down the street. You just say, you're blind, let me help you. You can explain it later. I desperately hope there are people that come in this door that you look at and go, what? And you should know, almost as much as I care about what I preach on Sunday morning, I passionately defend and will work on and will coach and will train our ability to make those people feel welcome here, loved here, accepted here. Because that's what Jesus did. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, as we love them, as they are allowed to, as we said in the last verse, taste and see that God is good, they'll give their life to him. You can't not give your life to Jesus when you're actually presented with Jesus. Now, all the fake Jesuses that go on talk radio and news and say things like, you know, God hates people and he causes earthquakes and crap like that. Yeah, that's a real easy Jesus not to like. But the real Jesus, the Jesus we're talking about here, he's irresistible. And so that's why I desperately hope people that don't know Jesus feel comfortable here, because they will discover Jesus here. With that said, here's one that may be a little odd, but it's for you. I hope from time to time you feel uncomfortable here. I do. I hope there are times you drive home and you talk to your spouse and you say, I can't believe he said that. I'm not sure I can go back. I do. I hope I say things that challenge your way of thinking. I hope I say things that make you go to God's word and say, there's no way that's in there. I hope so. My only request is if you have those kind of questions, ask me, ask us, I'll answer them. If I'm wrong, I'll tell you. I say things from here, from the stage, sometimes I shouldn't say. We all understand that. And I'll say I'm sorry, but when it's a principle from God's word, I ain't backing down. I ain't saying I like it. A lot of times I do this when I preach, right? And I'm coming right at me too. It's tough stuff. I hope there are times you look and see somebody walk on that door and you say, oh, no, 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 no. I'm all for people coming to Jesus, but you got to be kidding me. They can't come in here. Not that person. I know what they do for a living. They can't be here. I hope that happens. I hope you feel uncomfortable. Because here's why. How many of you exercise? Oh, just everybody raise your hand. Just pretend like you do. Just say, yeah, I exercise. Do you feel comfortable when you exercise? Because if you feel comfortable when you're exercising, here's a note, you ain't exercising. No. When you exercise, there has to be resistance, right? Because that pressure, that resistance, is where the results come from. That's where the growth happens. See, I want you to grow in your faith. I don't want you to stay where you are. I want you to grow. And that's only going to come from time to time being uncomfortable and having to wrestle. And saying, God, you got to show me this truth because that can't be right. Because sometimes God is screaming at you that you need to change something. And I'm going to say it and it's going to make you so mad. And you're going to realize not that I'm right because I'm a person, but that God's right. And he's trying to get your attention. And that's when you'll grow. And that's what I want to happen. That's what I want for you. I don't want you to just show up week in and week out, say, well, that sermon made me feel good, and leave. That's a failure. I want you to grow in your faith. Now, here's the next one. This is a light one. I hope we laugh here. I hope we laugh. I hope we have a good time. I hope we enjoy ourselves. I hope we embrace the fact that God says that we are called to love life. We have an amazing God. We have a God that decided to give us the Grand Canyon. We have a God that saw fit to let all of us live at the beach. We live here. There are poor saps that pay a ton of money to come here for 1 week. Hey, tourists, if you're here, I'm honored that you're with us today. Thrilled to have you. But you would agree, right? You paid money to come here. We live here. And if you're like most of these people in the room, you'll just randomly decide one day to move to Myrtle Beach because that's why everybody in this room's here. Why'd you move to Myrtle Beach? Oh, I just felt like it. Of course you did. That's why everybody moves here. That's the God we serve. The God that chose to give us taste buds. We didn't have to have taste buds. He chose to give us taste buds. And then he chose to give us chocolate for those taste buds. The God who chose to give us sunsets. The God that chose to give us new baby smell. The good kind. This is a God who wants us to enjoy our life. This is a God who wants us to celebrate what we have been blessed with and never focus on what someone else has been blessed with and get jealous over. Why do they have that and why do I not have that? I mean, I'm as good as they are. Why don't I know? We are blessed. And we will enjoy life. There will be times at this church we will do things that are just for fun and it's just so we will enjoy life. So we will remember to celebrate. I want you leaving out of here smiling. You're going to go to lunch after this and we get done pretty early, so you're still going to beat most of the crowd. So sit there at lunch and watch this happen. The people come in. Where have you been? Church. Really, looked awesome. Oh, it was great. Praise Jesus. Yeah, the message was out of 2 Habakkuk, and it was on the temple. Praise Jesus. Really? There's nothing wrong with the temple. I've preached on the temple, by the way. But we've created this idea that church isn't supposed to be fun and exciting. We serve the creator of the universe, the creator of excitement, the creator of fun, the creator of creativity. We should enjoy it. We should have fun here. Now, just to cover my bases with those of you who were like, that sounds like too much fun. Let me go back. My next hope. I hope God is glorified in all we do here. Every single thing we do it to glorify God. I said at the top, everything we do is driven by, is this going to help people meet Jesus? We have one other criteria given to us by God himself. Is this the absolute best we can do today? Everything we do is driven by that. Is this the best we can do? Because that's what God demands. He demands our absolute best. Will we ever achieve it? Absolutely not. Will we ever stop striving for it? Never. In fact, about a month ago, our staff sat down and came up with a couple of principles, a couple of things that we said, this is who we are going to be. And one of the five things we came up with is we will never, ever stop striving for excellence. We will constantly evaluate everything we do try to always make it the best it could be. And it's not about us. It's because it's what God tells us to do. Colossians 3 says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather for people. See, God deserves our absolute best. At home, at work, at church, God deserves our absolute best. And one of the ways for you to give your best is to plug in here. That's another hope I have. I hope people discover their gifts and play their role in God's story here. I desperately hope that happens. See, we believe that the church is a body. We talk about that all the time. The church is a body. Well, bodies only work best when every part is playing their part. As anybody who sat too long on the couch, Indian style, knows, when you stand up and one foot is asleep, you're in trouble. Doesn't work. Now, I say this with love in my heart. This is one of those uncomfortable statements. I love every one of you, but there are some people in this room that call Wellspring home, and you are not playing your part in God's story. You're asleep. And I just want you to know, the body's never going to work properly until you wake up. This is an invitation, not a condemnation. I want you to experience what God wants for you. Ephesians 2 says this, we are God's masterpiece. That word there, we are God's workmanship. We are his creation. We are something he painstakingly took time to plan out. And here's why he did it. We're God's masterpiece because he's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Every one of you in the room was created by God. And there are good things he wants you to do. They've already been planned. They have been taken care of. They have been prearranged. But you still have to step into them. You still have to walk in obedience. Wellspring Church will not become the church God's called it to be until everybody he's called to be a part of it is a part of it. And that's a challenge. That's one of those uncomfortable things. You're going to go home and tell your wife or your husband, well, he wasn't talking about me, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I was. If you've ever wondered, when was he talking about me? I'm talking about you. And let me tell you why I'm saying this, okay? It has absolutely nothing to do with trying to be funny or trying to make you feel guilty or anything like that. It's this. It's if God of the universe created you, okay? And he created this whole thing. And in his mind, his plan was to create you uniquely suited to serve him in a certain way. Do you not think that fulfilling that destiny for which God created you will not also result in the most fulfilled, best life possible for you? It's for your own good. Jesus said, I came to set captives free. Free to live the life they were created to live. And if you're a part of Wellspring, part of that freedom is discovering your skills, discovering your strengths, and playing your role in transforming Myrtle Beach. I'm passionate about this because here's my last hope. This is what I want for you. This is what I want for all of us. I hope we never settle for anything less than God's absolute best for our lives. Why on earth would you ever settle for anything less than God's best? How do we know what God's best? Well, it's in his word. In fact, next week I'm going to preach an entire message just on this topic. In this verse that I'm about to share, John 10:10, the thief, Satan, the enemy, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy your life. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and they may have it abundantly. All these hopes, that's what they lead to. They lead to an abundant life for you. The best life possible. The life Jesus Christ died to give you. And anything that takes you from that life, anything that takes you from God's plan, God's standard in his word is of the thief, whether you know it or not. It is of Satan. It is a trick. It is a trap aimed at destroying your life. But we don't want that here. We want you to have the best life possible. And that means deciding today, I'm never going to settle for less than God's absolute best for my life. That's the call. That's the challenge. So here's what I want to do today, specifically for you. That's 10 hopes. That's a lot of hopes. You don't even remember all 10. That's okay. I believe that one or two of those stuck out to you. I believe you felt a tug when I said them, or thinking back now, you do. I don't know what step God's asking you to take. I have no idea, but I know he's speaking to you if you're listening, and I know he's asking you to take a step. Here's my challenge today. Take it. Stop settling for anything less than God's absolute best for your life. And if he's asking you to do something and you're not doing it, you are settling for less than God's absolute best for your life. Some of you may be called to discover your role. I don't know what that is here, but it's very simple. On your connection card, just say, I want to take a test drive. And that's it. And it's not like a trick test drive where if you do it, we're like, ha-ha, gotcha, and we slap a chain cuffs on you or something. It's a test drive. We like to try out different areas of service at this church. If you don't like it, it's okay. Because here's what we want. We don't want you serving in a place where you don't want to be. We don't want you serving in a place that you don't enjoy. We firmly believe we've all been created to serve somewhere, and if we all play our role, everything's going to be taken care of. I believe passionately there's a place for every one of you at this church where not only will you enjoy it, you'll love doing it. And you'll tell others, man, I didn't know it would be this fun to do this, but this is amazing. Right. It's because you're walking in your identity. You are where God created you to be. And until you do that, you are settling for less than God's absolute best for your life. Others of you, maybe God's talking to you about a step of obedience you need to take in your marriage. Maybe it's a step of obedience you need to take in your home. Maybe it's a step of obedience with your finances, and God's saying, please just trust me with your finances. Please just put me first. Not doing that is refusing to live in God's best. You're settling. Maybe you're a volunteer here. I love our volunteers. But let's be honest, sometimes volunteering, we can get in a rut. We can just kind of go through the motions. Let this move to the YMCA be a transformation for you. If you're on the setup and you put up pipe and drape, put up pipe and drape for the glory of God. Be the best pipe and drape putter upper you can be. If you only put two drapes on there and we say three, say to the glory of God, I'll put one more up there. I don't know why we have to have three, but we're going to have three. And I'm going to spread them jokers out, and they're going to look pretty. Because excellence matters. If you're on the street team, you're out there parking cars, park cars for the glory of God. Be the best car parker these people have ever seen. If you're a diaper changer, be the best diaper changer you can be. Because you're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for these people. You are doing it for the God of the universe, and he deserves our absolute best. When we give him our best, then we can rest. Because then it's up to him. Because then he's going to take over. I don't know what you need to do today. I don't know. But here's what I know, and we're done. I know that this move is giving us an opportunity to reach more people than ever before. I know God wants to do something amazing through this church. He doesn't move two families halfway across the country and one family completely across the country to just do, nah. He does it because he wants to transform a region. But I also know it's not going to happen until we all say universally, I will not settle for anything less than God's absolute best for my life. Because Jesus died to give it to you. Did you know the Bible says you have an inheritance from God? You know what you have to do to earn an inheritance? Be born. There's so much God wants to give you. There's so much he wants to bless you with. There's so much he wants to do for you, with you, and through you. You just have to accept it. And as we learned a month ago, God is with us and for us. Nothing can stop us. He wants to use every one of us to accomplish more than we've ever imagined. Man, I hope we take him up on his offer. Oh, Father, I thank you so much for just this amazing first day. God, I beg right now that you will speak so clearly to our hearts, that you will even right now begin to show us the steps we need to take. Give us the courage to take out that connection card. Say, I want to take a test drive. Give us the courage to get out the offering envelope and begin being obedient with our money. Father, give us the courage to say, I don't even know Jesus. I need to talk to somebody. I need to know what to do next. Father, may we taste and see that you are good. Because as we taste and as we see, I believe we will choose less and less to settle. But we will seek your absolute best for our lives. I love you, Father. It's in your Son's amazing name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv or visit us on Sunday at the Grand Strand YMCA at 9 or 10:30 a.m.